Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. Last month, we began the series Iron Brigade and Beyond, Wisconsin in the Civil War. In honor of the sesquicentennial of the war between the states, we're commemorating the role and sacrifice of thousands of Wisconsin men and women who fought in some of the biggest battles of the war, yet received marginal attention. To remedy that and bring the battles alive, we're drawing on the expertise of local historian and author Thomas Martin Sobotke. 91,000 Wisconsinites would eventually fight in the war. Today on the show, Sobotke tells us about the first Wisconsin regiments to form, who fought mostly in the war's Western Theater.
Out west, you have a whole cavalcade of great Wisconsin units. Mostly infantry, because I guess the state, we are awfully, we badgers, we get in our lairs and our dens, and we are just stubborn. We are tough. And that's the kind of stuff these people that have settled this state are made of, for real. I don't think that's completely changed at all. And you have the 8th Wisconsin, which was the old Abe Eagle Regiment, which was from, I think, up near Eau Claire was their, the area they recruited from most. And they had an eagle that's, I don't know, I would think domesticating an American bald eagle would be an oxymoron. But they had, two soldiers had gotten a hold of one and managed to finish domesticating it with its own perch. And they went into battle with this thing. And it flew up and down the line, scaring the heck out of the enemy. And what was great about it, the men of the 8th Wisconsin loved this because it was called Old Abe, the Battle Eagle, you know, for the honor of the president. But he would fly up and down the Confederate line calling to the Confederates and basically daring them to shoot at him. And they couldn't hit him. But you've got dozens of Confederate soldiers, right, in these battles shooting at this eagle while the Wisconsin men are shooting them down. It was the eagle was actually contributing to their victories, and it became a talisman of success so that the Confederates, when they saw that damn buzzard, they wouldn't like it. And even at Vicksburg, they were there and they saw the damn buzzard flying around in the siege lines. And so, you know, and they were with Sherman, you know, in his great attack on it, a campaign for Atlanta. It's a great regiment. They had Chippewa and I think a few other Native Americans from another tribe who actually were about 16 of them, and they actually put on war paint and they followed their tribal nation's rituals for a fight. And that bothered the Confederates. So this regiment was a handful. The 26th Wisconsin was in the 11th Corps, a corps made up largely of Germans. And that regiment would end up fighting out west later in the war. And a very veteran regiment, unfortunately at Gettysburg as at Chancellorsville, which is a battle before Gettysburg, they are overwhelmed by Confederates and they get a reputation for, they were called Dutchmen in the 26th because they were Germans. It seems like Anglo-Americans in those days didn't fully understand the distinction between someone from the Netherlands and somebody from Germany proper or Austria or Switzerland or whatever. And they fought hard and well, but a lot of them were captured. The rest of the regiment fought out west with great distinction, even at Kennesaw Mountain in Georgia and other places, in Resaca and every place else. They were real veterans with Sherman. I think after those fights where they'd had to run in two battles straight, they redeemed themselves many times over, and that's why Sherman would notice these things. You have the 2nd Wisconsin Cavalry, which didn't see that much battle action, but had the unfortunate distinction of reminding us how many men died of disease, two of disease, just as heroically for everyone in battle. 265 men died of disease in that regiment. The 3rd and 5th Wisconsin are out east. They're in other brigades. You have regiments like the 28th Wisconsin that fights at Helena in Arkansas, and they're from the Waukesha area. You know, so they're all over. These regiments are ubiquitous.
How are you, conscript? How are you today? The provost marshal's got you in a very tight place, they say. But oh, you should not mind it, nor breathe another sigh. For you're only going to Dixie to fight and mind your eye. Oh, 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 how are you, conscript? How are you today? The provost marshal's got you in a very tight place, they say.
And there's a reason that General Billy Sherman, William Tecumseh Sherman, the next to Grant, the best general we had in the Civil War, another tough guy, eccentric, red-haired, talking even more than I do, which is, I think, impossible. He said that he would really rather have one Wisconsin regiment than two regiments from any other state. General Gibbon, who commanded the Iron Brigade, said, at the judgment day, I want to be with Wisconsin soldiers. That's something we should remember, even though we're a flyover state. And the big coasts with the media empires get a lot of the attention when we turn to look at our history. And in the 1880s, of course, a lot of these Wisconsin soldiers, especially the Iron Brigade, are going to get into a big fight with New Yorkers over who fought better at Gettysburg. And they're going to lose the media war just because New York is a little bigger market than Milwaukee. But you get an idea of how connected our listeners may be to the Civil War without even knowing it. I looked at a name that was mentioned in a history of the battle, and they mentioned the name of my dentist. I thought, is that someone who's a relative? And I went in for my usual cleaning, and I asked him straight out in the chair, and he said, yeah, that's my great-grandfather, and we all have stuff that tells about, oh, we have his letters in English translated, and the Wisconsin Historical Society has a collection of this guy's letters. He died at Belle Isle, an island outside Richmond, Virginia, in a prison camp. He was captured at Gettysburg and kept writing these plaintive letters to his family, his wife and kids, and unfortunately succumbed to disease and malnutrition or something of that sort. These are tragic stories, but they do connect us. I live a few doors down from a house where the original family had a boy who was a captain in the 10th Wisconsin, also out in the West, a very good regiment, and he was killed at Chickamauga. You also have Colonel Hans Hegg, who led a bunch of Norsemen, a bunch of Scandinavians out west in the West, and was killed at Chickamauga, but they were stubborn. And he has a big statue up on off of King Street on the Capitol Square in Madison. But these are tons of things that connect us.
Pewaukee writer, teacher, and independent Civil War historian Thomas Martin Sobotky is author of the book Across That Dark River, The Civil War Memory. It's published by Moving Train Books. Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce produces our series Iron Brigade and Beyond, Wisconsin in the Civil War. We'll hear another installment later this month, and you can hear all of our Civil War segments at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Next on the program, a summer movie preview with Dave Lurson. Don't forget, though, you can help us reach our goal of $500 this hour in support of Lake Effect and WUWM by calling in your pledge of support to 414-227-3210 or by going to wuwm.com. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.